In the United States today, Gallup reports that 73.7% of the population identifies itself as Christian. 48.9% are Protestants, 23% are Roman Catholics, and 1.8% are other kinds of Christians. 5.4% of the population are of non-Christian religious expressions, like Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus. 18.2% say that they're atheist, agnostics, or none. And 2.6% don't give a response at all. And of that 18.2 and 2.6, a rather significant percentage of them do say that they are spiritual, but not religious. In other words, there are about 327 million people in the United States today, of which Christians make up 241,146,400 people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? So you would think that if there are 241 million Christians in the United States today, you'd be sure that at least on any given Sunday, at least, 180 to 200 million of them would be in church, right? Right? Nope. The percentage of people who attend church at least once a month, as of the latest numbers, are 28.5%. 73.7% of the population self-identifies as Christian, but only 28.5% of the population attends church at least once a month. That means that in any given month, 68,700,000 people, almost 69 million, go to church. At least once a month, 69 million people are in church. Out of 241 million. That's horrible. It sounds awful. And it is. The United States is going the way of Europe in its own religious expression. But on the other hand, Jesus' response, the response of the people to Jesus and to God's miraculous working in their lives then, was even worse. Look at today's story. Jesus was passing between Galilee and Samaria. He entered a village and encountered 10 lepers. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests, and they did. And as they went, they were healed. Well, I could preach a whole sermon right there on how he didn't say, "You're healed." He didn't touch them. He didn't do anything to them. He simply told them after they asked to be healed, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they were on their way, they had to actually leave and go. While they were on their way, they discovered that they were healed. I could preach a whole message on that. I have in the past. But one, just one, after he recognized that he had been healed, just one came back, praising God to thank Jesus for his healing. In other words, 10%. One out of 10, 10% returned to praise God and to thank Jesus for the healing. Jesus himself remarked on this. He said, "Were not 10 made whole? Were not 10 made clean? Were not 10 of you healed? But the other 9, where are they?" I kind of wonder what that one who returned was thinking. I don't know. Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Huh? Yes, the one who came back, the one who praised God and returned to Jesus to thank him for the healing, was a dirty, stinking, rotten Samaritan. Ooh. Even without his leprosy, this guy would have been an outcast in good Jewish society, an unwanted, rejected, unclean Samaritan. That's who came back to praise God and thank Jesus. Let's talk about the Samaritans for a moment. It wasn't just that they were rejected. They were half-breeds. Samaritans were the descendants of the remnant of the northern kingdom of Israel. In 721 BC, Assyria defeated the northern kingdom of Israel and deported a huge percentage of the population. All of the landed gentry, all the royalty, all the rich people, all the educated people, all the military, they were all deported, those who were still alive, leaving only the unlanded peasants, just the uneducated, just the common folk. And into the region was imported by the Assyrians people from another region of their empire. And they intermarried, these northern Israelites intermarried with these imports, these people who had come in, these immigrants who had brought in by the Assyrians, and they formed the population group that became known as the Samaritans, for they lived in the area of Samaria. They were therefore not liked by the Jews. They were seen as half Hebrews. They didn't go to the temple for worship in Jerusalem. That was left over political wrangling from the days of the divided empire, north and south. They didn't carry on with all of the religious requirements of the Hebrew faith. They were considered to be outsiders of the Jewish community, outside of the community, outside of the covenant community. They only had part of the Torah. They didn't have it all. And so they were looked down upon by the Jews. You stayed away from them. You didn't have anything to do with them. They lived in a different place. You didn't go there. It was a scandal that Jesus was traveling in that region to begin with. It was a scandal when he would talk to them, when he would converse with them, when he would heal them, when he would deliver them from demons. It was a scandal. One of the many charges against him that were brought before him and before the Sanhedrin was that he was involved with people, with tax collectors and sinners and Samaritans. So these Samaritans folk, they're just people you don't have anything to do with. The only one to come back, the only one to praise God, the only one to thank Jesus was one of them? Ugh. Now let's talk about his leprosy. Leprosy just wasn't one disease. It was a whole host of skin ailments. Everything from what we know of as genetically leprosy today to, you know what, even very bad case of acne was sometimes considered leprous. Anything on your skin that made you appear to be unhealthy, anything on your skin, blemishes on your skin, sores on your skin that would stay and would linger and get bad, anything that looked awful made you an outcast. If you had leprosy and you touched someone who didn't, the chances were, now we know it weren't as great as they thought it was, but it was believed that it was transmitted directly to that other person. So you stayed away from them, you shunned them, you kept them away from you. That's why they didn't actually come up to Jesus. It's why Jesus didn't touch them in healing them, because it was dangerous. The society looked down upon it. This guy, this one man, this one out of ten, had the proverbial double whammy. He was not only a Samaritan and hence unwelcome in good Jewish society, but he also had leprosy. He had everything going against him. He had been in this situation for a long time, possibly his whole life. Certainly, relative to Jews, as a Samaritan, he had been rejected again and again and again. And now with leprosy, he had been rejected by everybody, including the other Samaritans. And it was he, a Samaritan who had had leprosy, who was healed. It was this one man, the one you would not expect to come back, the one you would not expect to praise God, the one you would not expect to come and thank Jesus, the one who was never going to be the hero of any story. It was this one man, a Samaritan, who came back and thanked Jesus for the healing. Where were the other thankless jerks who had been healed and yet did not come back, did not visibly praise God, did not thank Jesus for their healing? The one who came back knew he had much to be thankful for. And in the early history of the church, the first people outside the Jewish community to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ were the Samaritans. The gospel opened to them and to the Gentiles early on in the story in the Acts of the Apostles. People who had been considered outsiders, people who had been beyond the covenant community, people who had been beyond God's love, at least according to the Jewish rules and regulation, received the gospel. Indeed, the gospel has always gone. God's grace has always been available to people whom God's people have thought of as being foreigners or outsiders and unworthy of God's love. I want you to hear that again. God's grace, God's love, God's favor, God's acceptance, God's healings, God's miracles have always been with and gone to those whom God's people otherwise have thought to be outside the covenant community. God has always had favor and love for the outsiders, those who have been rejected and pushed away, those that the good religious people thought weren't worthy of God's love. They thought they were worthy, but they thought these people weren't worthy of God's love. God's grace, God's love, God's favor, God's grace and peace has always gone to people on the outside. God has never rejected them. We might have thought so, good religious people that we are, but God has always welcomed people from the margins of life, people who live outside the normal confines of our religious expectation. Another point. The last line in the story, Jesus says to this one man who came back, this one man, this one Samaritan man who came back, this one person who came back, praising God and thanking Jesus for the healing, he says to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." It's often missed. The word being translated, "made you well," could easily be read as "saved you." Your faith has saved you. It's the same word in Greek. To be healed, to be saved, the same word, so. It means to be made well. It means to be healed. It means to be delivered. It means to be saved. All of these are possible translations here. It's not your works. It's not your identity as a Jew, for he wasn't one. It's not your ability to approximate the requirements of the law, for he wasn't doing that either. He was simply asking for healing. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Save us. Heal us. Jesus, Master, they came to him knowing that he could deliver them from this ailment, from this illness, from this sickness. They trusted in him. They believed he could and would because he has for others. Your faith, not your works, not your ability to approximate the law, not your being a good person, your faith has made you well, your faith has saved you. We too have been saved. We too have been cleansed. We too have been delivered. We too have been accepted by God when we were outside. We too have been drawn into the covenant community. Even though we've been outside of it, we too have been drawn in. We are Gentiles. God has welcomed us too into the family of God, into the family of faith, into the community of believers. Even though we don't deserve it, no. Us all in. I heard an amen. Now, I discovered last week, friends, when the district superintendent was here, that you all have voices and you all can say that magic, wonderful, beautiful proclamation, amen, right?
Amen.
We all have been drawn in, have been welcomed in, have received the wonderful grace and favor and love of Jesus Christ. Jesus has said to each and every one of us, your faith has saved you. My brothers and sisters, we are like that leper. We are like that Samaritan. We have been welcomed. And all we do as people, most of us, except for 69 million a month, most of us don't come back and thank Jesus. Oh, you got back to that, Greg, didn't you? Yes, I did. Most of us. Now, I'll include myself on that. When I go on vacation, you know how often I go to church? When I'm on vacation for a couple of weeks, let us say I'm on a cruise like I will be in January, they'll have worship services on the ship. And unless I'm serving as the chaplain on board, do I go to them? No. Primarily because I'll sit there and I'll listen to the sermon and I'll think, I could have done that better. Arrogance on my part. But it's true. My friends, we're here today. Praise God we're here today. We have come back to thank Jesus for the grace we have received. We've come back to thank God and to praise God and thank Jesus for the grace we have received, for the love we have received, for the forgiveness we have received, for the community of faith that we have received that has welcomed us in. But my friends, unfortunately, 130 million of us plus, we don't thank Jesus. We're not in church today. We're doing our own thing. We might be at the Church of the Holy Touchdown or some other thing. Oh, my friends, we must be like that one leper and not like the other nine. We must praise God and turn and return and thank Jesus for the wonderful grace that we have received. Oh, thank you for saying that, my brothers and sisters, because saying amen, the word amen means so be it. The word amen says, I agree with it. The word amen says, I'm going to live my life according to that. And so we say amen. And we commit ourselves to praising God and returning to Jesus, who loves us, who welcomes us in, who heals us, who saves us, who transforms us, who makes us well, and who sends us out to proclaim the wonderful love of God for all. We must praise God. We must return to Jesus. And we must go out and share with others what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. May we do that. And when we say amen,
May we commit ourselves anew and afresh to serving as this one healed Samaritan served in proclaiming the good news to and for all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen.
In your prayer.